Sometimes we as Christians know everything there is to know about love, but we don't love one another. We know everything there is to know about joy, but I don't have any joy in my home. I know all there is to know about forgiveness, but I can't forgive my wife for what she did. And we live this dual life. The Lord says, you can't do that, that'll kill you.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. In the book of James, it says that if we know to do good but do it not, well, to us, it's a sin. A lot of times we ask God for wisdom, but when He gives it to us, we don't act on it. Today's message is all about acting on that wisdom. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of a message entitled Decisions, Destiny.
It's sort of like this. Forgive me if it's a little graphic, but the cow eats a bunch of grass and chews on it and swallows it. And then he talks to his friends and nothing else to do, so he sits in the corner and burps it back up and chews on it like, you know, already been chewed gum, ABC gum, we call it. And you chew on that a little while more, get more flavor out of it. All the bile is now mixed into it. And then he swallows it. Now he does a few chores and he's got a few minutes left, so he figured, and he burps it up again. And he just mixes it with more stuff, you know, and just chews it. Gets it really digestible, and then he finally swallows it, and it's digested, becomes a part of the cow, and it produces the milk that you drink. I had you, see, you're just going. But that's what the word comes from. It comes from just chewing it again, to ruminate on it, to think about it. What is it saying? It's saying, I am making an intentional choice that this stuff is going to become digested into my body to become a part of me. You see, if your food doesn't digest well, it goes into your stomach, and if it doesn't digest, it's going to get expelled somehow. But food that is digested becomes a part of your muscle. Then it becomes who you are. So it's not just a food source. It becomes a part of you. And God is saying the same thing is true with the Word of God, that this, God's Bible, as you read it, think about it, ruminate on it. And when you walk away, think about it again. In fact, my greatest desire when you leave church on Sunday morning is not that we be thinking or talking about a sketch or a song, but to be thinking with your mind on what God has just said to you. You know what God just talked to me about? I've been putting too little thought into my decisions, and I've been having to live with the consequences of it. And I need to consider four things. One is the source from where I get my decision making. It's got to be what God says. Yeah, I got to think about that more. God, your voice has to be the most important voice in my life as I'm making decisions. Because if I don't know what voice is most important, I'll never make wise decisions. I'll always be stalemate. And Lord, help me to just let your word ruminate inside of me so that I don't just know it in my brain, but it becomes a part of who I am. And it just comes out. In a illustration of that, Ken Blanchard, by the way, is a man that wrote The One-Minute Manager and is a wonderful Christian man. And I was just in San Antonio this week speaking to about 1,200 pastors, 1,300 pastors from all different denominations. And he was a speaker just before me, and wonderful man. He had just written a book called Leadership by the Book. And he tells a story of him sitting with a very well-known restaurateur that had built more five-star properties than anyone else in the world. And he talks about how what he's learned didn't just go into his head, but went into his whole being. It says this, while we were eating, my friend, the restaurateur now, the very well-known man that's created all these five-star hotels, my friend noticed people waiting to be seated. And none of the staff of this restaurant seemed to be noticing them or taking care of them. Suddenly, without a word, he jumped to his feet, approached the waiting people, and cordially seated them at an available table. When he came back and rejoined us at our table, I asked him, I said, what in the world are you doing? I said, this isn't even one of your restaurants. My friend said, you know, I just couldn't stand seeing guests waiting there with no one helping them. If I hadn't done something, it would have bothered me all night long. Not even his restaurant. But he saw something that needed to be done, and he jumped up and did it. interesting, his actions weren't something that were just learned and then applied only when it was expected of him. His actions became a reflection of who he was. He was a servant with excellence at his very core. And when the opportunity was there, it came out of who he was, not just out of what he learned. And the same is true when you begin to meditate on the Word of God. God's Word becomes a part of just who you are, just who you are. And when you're on a plane or in a church, you're in the marketplace or with family, who you are bleeds over everything. But we've got to make sure that God's Word and His voice is most important. Then the decisions we make are natural, but supernatural. Seems to be something that's easy to do, but it's divinely inspired because God's Word has become a part of who we are, not just something we learn. Otherwise, we'll know what to do, but we won't do what we know. So the second is to meditate on God's Word till it becomes a part of us. Now, the third thing to consider is this. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So, which means the most important voice in your life must be whose voice? God's voice, because you're going to have many voices. People calling you oats, barley, nuts, Jews, whatever it might be. And you're going to have to listen to which voice is the most important. And when you know, then your decisions will be much wiser and more divine. The second is the decision. What are you going to be mixing on the inside so that you can add definition to an action so that the response is correct? That decision making is where you've got to have a lot of God's Word, meditating on what God is saying. And as that is there, when a circumstance hits you, it's processed correctly, not by the world, not by flesh, but by what God has been saying. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, to be careful to do according to all that is written in it. The third consideration is now the action. The action. We're talking about making godly or wise decisions. The action. What are you going to do because of what you just heard? Now remember this. You cannot sow one thing and expect to reap something entirely different. So when it comes to the action, and it's got to move into action, how are you going to respond to this? You've got to remember this. You cannot sow moodiness and expect a vibrant marriage. You cannot sow one thing and expect something entirely different. You cannot sow moodiness and expect to reap a vibrant marriage. You cannot sow selfishness and expect to reap respect from others. You cannot sow complaints and expect to receive a promotion. It won't work. You cannot sow evil or disobedience or compromise and expect to receive God's blessings. It won't happen. You cannot sow disloyalty and expect to receive trust. It won't happen. Someone said that the definition for insanity is doing the same thing again and again and expecting a different result. It won't happen. Someone else said it this way: if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And the way your life is designed right now, the decisions you're making, are perfectly designed to produce the results you are now getting. So if we want to reap something better, we've got to sow something different. So the actions of our life have to be by listening to the most important voice, letting God's Word filter through and affect everything that we do, because it is those actions that'll affect destiny, because it comes from decisions and voices that we hear. So let God's voice be the most important and make the right actions. I remember when God first spoke to me when I was a brand new Christian about some things in my life. And I knew the source, and I knew that was God speaking to me, and I had some drugs and some alcohol and stuff. And I thought, you know what God is saying. And I need God's word to affect me, not just, yeah, I need to do that and I'll do that someday. No, I've got to do this in order to make wise decisions. So before my flesh could talk me out of it, I remember going and pouring all of that stuff out. I had a whole bunch of stuff and getting all my drugs and cross tops and all the little things that I had in these baggies and flushed it down the toilet. And then going through all my music, taking all my Black Sabbath and, you know, real demonic kinds of terrible music and throwing it, actually taking it to the dump, because I knew if I put it in the trash can, I was going to fish it back out. So I actually put it in some black bags, went down to the dump and threw it in these big bins. Now, after all of the drugs and alcohol and all my records, it was like $3,000 worth of stuff. And I remember coming home thinking, now that was stupid. Oh no, all of that stuff. Oh, and then the last thing, it was like the last bastion of holdout that I had, was I loved rock and roll music. So I'd play and listen to all of this stuff, you know, and old groups that you may not even know about, but Rush and Deep Purple and Black Sabbath and some of these that were just bad, bad, bad. So I would listen to all of that. Well, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, here's another decision you must make, and I'm going to speak to you about it. I want you to fast, not food, but secular music for a year. And I want you just to listen to Christian music. Now, in the 70s, when I got saved, Christian music was bad. Bad. Now it's really good, you know, but back then it's like four guys singing. Oh, good night. And I remember turning to that Christian station. I'm driving down the road. I thought, this is so bad, Lord. Come on. This is like you're asking me to suffer. This is bad. This is painful, God. This is painful. And I remember turning it back to the other secular station, you know, bang, yeah, yeah, die, kill, yeah, yeah, have sex, yeah, 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 drive. And then the Lord spoke to me so strongly as if he just entered the car, and he spoke to my heart, and I remember so clearly, he said, Wayne, what do you rather have? You rather have truth? Would you rather listen to truth, though it's packaged poorly? Or would you rather listen to lies just because it's packaged well? What would you rather do? Listen to lies because it's packaged well? Would you rather listen to truth even though it's not packaged well? You choose. You choose. And I thought, yeah, Lord, you're right. Turn the station. Back to that one. But I so remember back then the Lord speaking to me about choices that needs to reflect itself in action. Because if I know the truth and what's right, but I don't do it, the Bible says that's sin. And I start to live a dual life where I know what to do, but I ain't doing it. And one of the most dangerous things about Christians and living in Christianity is this. Sometimes we as Christians know everything there is to know about love, but we don't love one another. We know everything there is to know about joy, but I don't have any joy in my home. I know all there is to know about forgiveness, but I can't forgive my wife for what she did. I know all there is to know about serving, but I ain't involved in anything and I ain't going to serve. And we live this dual life. The Lord says, you can't do that. That'll kill you. Because decisions are actions made from what God has said. And you begin to decide and have the right actions. And the result, the last one, would you write down the result? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you'll be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success. God's desire for you and for me is that we become people fruitful in everything that we do. What's most important of all is not the circumstance, but it is instead the decision or the choice that we make in the midst of that circumstance. That's what will be eternal. Listen carefully. The circumstance will go away. The situation will pass. But the decisions we will have made in the midst of that will last a lot longer. Some time ago, I was playing in a flag football game, and I was playing quarterback, and I went back for a pass, and decided to run it. So I started running down the sideline, and this guy came across, and he must have had a thing for pastors because he was going to take me out. And he came, and he could care less about the flags. He just went for my rib cage. Kaboom! And I thought, what is this? Now, I'm flying through the air with the greatest of ease. And pain is shooting through my body. I'm thinking, I just busted my ribs. This guy has just cleaned my clock. And I'm spinning, and I'm thinking, this guy is an idiot. As soon as I get on my feet, I'm going to kick his head. And I fall on my back. And what God knew I wanted to do that. So he had the wind knocked out of me. I couldn't breathe. It was like the Lord saying, good, now you can't say anything. Oh, man, I had it all figured out. I had it prepared in my mind exactly what I was going to say. And so everybody gathered around, and they kind of gave me CPR, whatever, you know. And I got back my breath. And you okay? You okay? And by this time, I had calmed down a little bit. Yeah, I'm okay. And so we got back into the game, and I thought, no, I better not say anything. The Lord said, yep, you don't say anything. Even if it's religious, don't say anything. You know, like I want to say, you whitewashed tomb, you know, whatever. But no, you don't say anything. Even if it's religious, just don't do it. And so I remember continuing, and everybody said, Wayne, you want me to take him out? I said, no. I leave him alone. Wayne, you want me to deck him on the way? No. Clothesline him? No, just leave him. We're fine. And so just no problem. So we went on with the game. After the game was done, we were sitting down, and this guy walked over to me, the guy that took me out, the idiot one, and he came over, and he sat next to me, and I'm thinking in my head, you are sitting in the wrong place, dude. And he turned to me and said, you know, I'm really sorry. That was so foolish of me. That was so stupid. You know what? I go to another church, and I'm a Christian, and I don't know. I just got back into my old competitive ways again. Will you forgive me? I turned to him and said, oh, hallelujah, brother. I forgave you long time ago. And I can just hear the Lord go, right, you liar. But you know, it's interesting. I don't even remember who won the game till this day. But I thank God the Lord just shut my mouth, because if I would have blown up at him, no one would have remembered the game. They wouldn't have even remembered him taking me out. They would remember. Remember that pastor just blew up on that guy, tried to false crack him and deck him and said all these things. Remember that? Isn't that true? They'll remember not the situation. They'll remember a poor decision that was made in the midst of that situation. You see, what's eternal is not the situation you're going through, sir, ma'am, brother, sister. What's most important is the decision, the decisions you make in the midst of it. That's going to have a shelf life a lot longer than the situation itself. That will affect your destiny. It's not the situations or circumstances that affect your future. It's the decisions you make in the midst of those that will. So consider the source. Let God help you. Let God's word be meditated on so that's a part of your life. And then do an appropriate action, and you'll have God's success. And God will be pleased, and he'll let you know that you're on the way to making wise decisions. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Lord Jesus, we stand here before your throne, knowing that the decisions we make are incredibly important. And they hold within the embrace of the decisions eternal consequences of benefit or detriment. And Lord, right now we stand in your presence and know that you're asking us to make decisions, decisions of a lifetime. And Lord, right now, as we stand here, there's some of us who have never made a decision to follow you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we want to stop that kind of decision making. Because we know that you have spoken to us to follow you. Because the only way that we'll make wise decisions is if we can hear your voice and determine that your voice is the most important. But without receiving you, Lord, as our Savior, without you living in our hearts, without us being forgiven of sin, we can't even hear your voice. And so, Lord, would you open our hearts and thus open our ears? We know that sin deafens us to your voice. We ask for your forgiveness. make us new people. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ and you need forgiveness, you'd say, man, God knows I need forgiveness. And I'm having a hard time even hearing God. And when I do think I hear God, I can't tell if it's God or not. I need a clearer voice. But one of the ways to get a clearer reception is to get a new heart. It's like getting the radio fixed. And without the correct components in that radio, even if the signal is going by, it'll never receive it. And the Lord says you need to have a new heart, to receive Him into your heart as Lord and Savior, to bring forgiveness, to cleanse your heart from all unrighteousness. That's what the scripture says. If I confess my sins, He'll be faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You might be here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I don't understand all there is to understand about Jesus, but I do know God's knocking on the door of my heart. I do know I need to open my heart to Him so that I will hear His voice and that He'll become a part of my life and helping me to make decisions that affect my destiny in positive ways. Because the decisions I make today affect my destiny of tomorrow and the next generation of relationships, my children in the future. So I want to open my heart to Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're saying, yes, that's what I want to do. I know God's talking to me, and I want to follow Him and begin that relationship. If that's you, right now, would you raise a hand? And when you do that, you're simply saying yes to Jesus as He says, follow me. Okay, yeah, all right, in the middle, right up front. You too, sister. Okay, over here too. Yeah, all right. You can put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I've been making pretty bad decisions lately. And I got to change that. I need to put more heart into the decisions that I've been making, the words that I've been saying. But Wayne, sometimes my words fly out of my mouth and I suffer the consequences for them later. They just almost come out automatically. I guess I need to rewind the tape and ask the Lord to change me on the inside, my default system, so that the things that I say automatically come more from His heart than my flesh. Would you pray for me? And if that's you, would you raise a hand? In doing so, you're saying, yeah, Lord, would you help me to make wiser decisions that'll affect my destiny for the good? Yeah, all right. You can put your hands down. Let's take a hold of the person's hand next to you. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful love as you draw us near to yourself so that we might make decisions based on your heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being like that metaphor of a tugboat. You don't ram us. Instead, you come and pull yourself up snugly next to us and then apply consistent pressure that we move in the right direction. Thank you for that kind of kindness and grace. We want to open our hearts to receive you as Lord and Savior. Father, we as Christians that are making poor decisions, would you change that, Lord? Help us to make better decisions as we incline our ear towards what you're saying. Lord, put your word deep into us, into the recipe of our decision making, so that our actions will be godly. Now let's pray this prayer out loud, especially if you've received Jesus for the first time. Would you pray this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came, died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. I confess that I'm a sinner. I open my heart to your touch. I will never be the same again. I have closed the door and I will walk with you. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so you can hear me, so people around can hear, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name, I pray. And Lord, that's our prayer this morning. Thank you for being in our midst. And our answer is, in all that you say, yes, Lord, yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Decisions, Destiny. Thank you for listening. Now, for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.